this time.
And
so we are at the section of the seven limb practice. So the next, it says, the text says, is the seven branch practice, a summary practice of the essential points of accumulation and purification, which starts by paying homage. Here, this is stated, without relinquishing, in the state of without relinquishing the focus of objects of refuge, and while paying homage, make the individual lineage application of vast conduct lineage and profound lineage of view, until to Jir Lama, Tsongkhapa, as is well known by reciting the lines, the liberator and unequaled teacher, the destroyer, the possessor and gone beyond, etc. And the prayer starts from these lines. The highly accomplished and learned Venerable Sherab Singhi, the omniscient one in person, Yundun Drupa, and Noble Sangpo, who has actualized the state of three bodies, the Buddha bodies, I request the three glorious lamas, and so forth. And goes on until I request the until Losang Gyatso De, the Lord of Speech, Losang Gyatso De, I think fifth Dalai Lama, possessing the treasure of the profound and vast teaching, I request to the assembly and direct and indirect tutors. So the word request should be changed into pay homage, and then by in whatever, by the time you reach the point in whatever number and whoever, etc., homage is paid to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who are invited. So mandala offering, as the starting point of practice, offering, then the material of the mandala could be made of precious gem or two precious materials to a slate on which you, if you do not have the means, and then prepare grains, etc., to arrange as heaps on it. And in the beginning, with regard to the 37 heaps, the number should be as much as much wish, and as possible, and then for the sake of more numbers, the seven heaps should be treated as the main, and the number should be from 21 to 100, etc., which should be offered in accordance with the words and visualizations. So at this point of accumulation, accumulating collect merit without having even one grain of offering that is actually arranged, and without undergoing even the slightest physical and verbal hardship, and to claim and say that it is done solely through belief and concentration is exactly as Bodhava has said. So by putting some medicinal incenses in a smelly smoked bowl, and then if you say sandal, camphor, incense water, and thus a blind befooling this or the one with eye, while having the means to do, means due to miserliness, and while having the means due to miserliness and laziness, making bad and little offerings and totally abandoning it is a clear external revelation or indication that internal signs of having not achieved faith in the Dharma and the teaching. These days, those genuinely practicing the Dharma and adopting it is like as rare as stars in the daytime, and even in the case of those doing it, which is a mere possibility. Like a biped of the land called Judah, do not mix along with humans and say that we do not copy such outright stubborn practices. And also in the case of lineage lamas and the teachings, there are many who are unable to count them systematically after the other, but still boast and display or show of themselves, as is done in the case in some provinces in the land called Kanchi. And so when Domthenpa was about to pass away, he put his lap, head on Bodhawa's lap, and Bodhawa was thinking that now my Lama is going to pass away, and he felt very sad, and he shed tears, and tears rolled down his cheek, and it actually dropped on Domthenpa's cheek and head. And then Domthenpa looked up and said, "What happened? What is happening?" And he said that Bodhawa replied by saying that until now I have relied on you for teachings and guidance and instructions. When you have passed away, whom should I rely on? And Domthenpa advised him that when I'm gone, you should actually rely on the texts as your guru. So I usually tell people who ask me about gurus, and there are people who are trying to find some teachers, and instead of finding the right kind of teacher, they sometimes find the wrong kind of teacher who are unqualified to become spiritual teachers. And so Domthenpa's advice to Bodhawa is really suitable. And so we should first go about studying texts, and then after having really understood the different meanings of the teachings, then we should perhaps go to someone who is giving teachings and is able to give teachings, without in the beginning right away considering the person to be your own spiritual guru, but to actually test and examine the person from his teaching, and not just decide that, oh, this is the right person I want, but do check his or her behavior as well. For even if it takes days and so on, you should really check these people well. And then when you actually feel convinced that this is the right person for you to take as your teacher, then you can finally decide to regard the person as your spiritual guru. Otherwise, there will be lots of complications without actually being able to see the good qualities, without seeing the good qualities that are needed for a spiritual teacher. And so in this way, you'll be following a very fine line of making decision to consider someone as your teacher or not. So with regards to reliance on one's guru, one should go about like that. So when it comes to thinking about the guru's guru devotion, you have to actually know the qualities of the qualifications of the guru and his knowledge and so forth by doing analytical analysis of the person or checking the person. Whereas when you do the single-pointed concentration practice, then you need to do the single focusing meditation. So when it comes to doing the Dharma practice, it has to come voluntarily. You have to feel free to choose your practice and the path. And nobody can actually force on you the practices and the teachings. No one. This, in fact, is about your own benefit. It's for your own interest that you are actually looking for a teacher and for Dharma. And so, So you are not, we are not talking about being selfish here, but when you are well qualified and you have all the things that are necessary for becoming a disciple, a good disciple, then you can also help others better. And so, you, after having found your teacher and regarded someone as your teacher, then you should rely on the person correctly. And see the negative consequences of not relying on the guru and also relying wrongly, inappropriately. So after having gone through these processes, then you should bring up this your faith of, in the guru, devotion in the guru. Once you have really found the person to be convincing for you, then in your meditation you should consider the person single-pointedly as your guru. And then when that the strength of that conviction and faith kind of weakens slightly, then you can again use different reasonings as to why the person is my guru and so forth, and using the right kind of good reasonings, and then bring up that that same kind of when that intensify your devotion. So there are, these are the few lines that are said in Sutra Lamkara. Alas to those who are tormented by hunger and thirst when they are held by facilities of food and clothing and a leader that protects them from the harms of opposing enemy, if even these thoughts are regarded as kind, who can measure the kindness of the tutor who shows the jewel of everlasting happiness like a substance in the palm, by totally liberating from all fears of affliction, by the three aspects of suffering, of infinite samsara, and even then, even the state of peace, and so forth. And so, with these lines or in intermediary verses, we will now switch to the swift path leading to omniscience. So if you have the southern lineage, which is in the new revised edition, you can find it. The Lhoju Lamrim, the Southern Lineage Lamrim, on page 193. Please check the page number in the old book. So I received this teaching on the Southern Lineage from Jebje Tijan Rinpoche. So, the Southern Lamrim lineage now by Gendun Jamyang on page 195. From the ocean of the two collections with combined method and wisdom deftly arise the abundant boughs and leaves, the major and minor marks. On their tip is the ripe fruit, great enlightenment that knows all phenomena. O protector of sentient beings, foremost wishing granting tree, I pray to bestow virtue and excellence upon me. So His Holiness was saying that this particular text called Southern Lineage Lamrim actually is in the lineage of the fifth Dalai Lama's text, the word of Manjushri. The protector Manjushri is the lord of speech and the deity of knowledge who displays his wisdom, ethics, and kindness as Tsongkhapa, his teaching both as expedition and accomplishment whose you spread and develop, O excellent spiritual masters and tutor. To you I humbly pay homage herein for the practice of the commentary on the stages of the path of the kind, three kinds of beings leading those of good fortune to Buddhahood. There are three phases. Preliminary, central, and the actual body of the teaching, and then the conclusion. Preliminary phase has two sections, refuge and spirit of enlightenment, and how to rely on spiritual masters. The first one, praise of the praiseworthy says, what trouble of sentient beings are there that you do not remove, what excellence of worldly beings is there that you do not confer, think. Thus, there is not the slightest possibility that beings should escape from samsara's troubles and from personal peace or enjoy temporary and ultimate happiness from causes other than the Buddha's powers. The Buddhas who are endowed with exceptional qualities in turn are products of the holy Dharma, the truth of cessation and the path. Furthermore, the correct practice of these depends on sanghas in training and those fully trained. Therefore, I entreat the holy objects of refuge from now until I reach Buddhahood to be my protectors, refuges, and supporters. So, read on. And the next topic is how to rely on a spiritual master. So how to rely on the spiritual masters in thought? So the way students with such characteristics rely on spiritual masters is twofold. How to rely on thought and how to rely on deed. The Light for the Jewels Sutra says, generating fundamental faith like a mother protects and enhances all good qualities. It is important to be sure to begin with undivided faith in the spiritual masters. Although you should see the spiritual masters as free of the faults and having all qualities, all good qualities, because of the degenerate times, the lamas appear to have a mixture of faults and good qualities. Since a mixture of faults and good qualities appear to disciples with impure karma, you must stop ascribing faults. To be rid of the perception of faults, think. Is it any different from perfectly white snow mountain appearing to be blue to a mistaken sense consciousness, for example, or a visual consciousness that due to jaundice perceives a conch as a white conch as yellow? The fully accomplished Buddha, free of all faults and endowed with all good qualities, was seen as a mass of failings and errors by Lekar, Devadatta, the Tirthikas, and so on. Aryasanga saw Venerable Maitreya as Shida, her hindquarters infested with maggots. The Master Buddha Jnanapata saw the Master Manjushri Mitra as an old man, half householder, half monk, and with his head wrapped in the Dharma robe, blowing the filth and boiling large sums of insects gathered from the furrows. Maybe worms gathered from the furrows. Naropa saw Telopa roasting live fish, and novice monk Krishnacharya saw Vajravarahi as a leper woman. The meeting of the Father and Son Sutra explains that Tathagata also manifests as a demon to ensure the welfare of sentient beings. There is no difference between these two illustrations and my way of seeing things. Thus, do your best to stop the perception of even the slightest fault and cultivate faith in even the most insignificant good qualities. This is extremely important point, and extremely important point for it is the source of goodness and all spiritual attainments. To develop great veneration, it is important to remember the Master's kindness. Therefore, think, my holy gurus have come to, for the purpose of guiding unruly and hard-to-tame beings, since they are, in essence, all the Tathagatas of the three times appearing in ordinary form from the point of view of being free of all faults and possessing all good qualities. There are no different from, they are not different from the Buddhas. However, from my point of view, they are still greater, for even meeting a Buddha directly would not be more helpful to me. As for the profound and vast Dharma, my spiritual masters teach it excellently, and I listen to it. If I manage to put it into practice, there is no doubt that I can attain liberation and omniscience. If protecting me from the dread of sickness and enemies and providing me with good food and the wealth in this life is considered to be very kind, what then need be said of the kindness of giving protection from the suffering of cyclic existence in general, in particular, and of conferring matchless enduring happiness? Even filling a billion worlds with gold could not repay it. For me, the kindness of the holy guru is without doubt far greater than that of all Buddhas of the three times. Generating faith and venerating from the very depths of your heart and the core of your being, meditate until your hair stands on each end and tears flow from your tears. And how to rely on a spiritual master indeed? The 50 verses of Guru Devotion says, here, what need is there to say much? Do whatever pleases your teachers. Give up doing anything that would displease them. Be diligent in each of these examining them. In the past, to hear a single line of Dharma, our guide, the Buddha, stuck 1,000 butter lamps into his body, drove 1,000 nails into it, and offered everything, children, wives, subjects, and so forth, and possessions. Sada Praruddhita relied on Arya Dharma. Dharmutara, Narupa on Telopa, Atisha on Guru Sarvana Dvipa, Se on Dogmi, Milarepa on Marpa, and so forth. The biographical great masters of the past show how, for the sake of the Dharma, they endured extraordinary hardships, disregarding their health and even their lives. Although the gurus are not interested in material goods and the like, if provisionally they behave as though they do, it is to enable dear disciples to complete their accumulations of merit. As it is said, by giving to them, you will constantly be giving to all Buddhas. Giving to them constitutes a collection of merit. From this collection, the supreme spiritual attainments arise. You should offer all your cherished belongings, and even if they tell you to do something that is difficult and seemingly inappropriate, think, without doubt, this will be useful to me in some way, and do it without hesitation. Or if it is something you simply cannot do or you feel is wrong, as it says, if upon reflection you feel incapable, ask to be excused from what you are not able to do. It is important to ask properly to be excused. It is inappropriate to leave it at that without thinking any more of it, since it is said that the main way to please your spiritual master is to offer them your practice. You should ascertain whatever teachings they have given you through learning, reflection, and meditation. And read on. So we are on page 201, the central phase. So we stop there. And now we switch to the swift path. So when it's when the experiential explanation of the guidance teaching is done, then in the beginning there is this system, tradition of doing this reflection, the screening through reflection on the points of the practices. So Namo Guru Munindraya, I pay with veneration homage to the foremost of the Shakyas, supreme leader, who by means of the marvelous hook of courageous empathy leads the heart to tame vicious migrators whom the other Sugatas were unable to liberate. I take refuge until the essence of enlightenment in Lord Maitreya, ruler of the vast waves of deeds, Manjushri, imparter of the profound view, Nagarjuna and Sangha, who embellish this world. So regarding that, so with regard to the lineage, the stages of the vast path, on page 3, the lineage extending from the fully enlightened to the Lord Maitreya, then to Sangha and his brother, and so forth. And then stage of profound path, the lineage from the enlightened Buddha to the Noble Manjushri, then to glorious protector Arya Nagarjuna. So we usually talk about, refer to Maitreya as someone who is in the Tushita heaven, whereas in Wensek, a Korean scholar of old times named Wensek, who has written a commentary on Samdhi Nimocana Sutra, where he mentions that the Maitri, this man or the person was named Maitri because his mother had this name, so he was named after his mother, Maitri. So there is Maitreya, who is a deity, and then Maitreya, who was a human being as well. So I'm not sure which one. Is the one we are referring here? Page number 4, the glorious Devangara Shirjana had both, and in brief since. The glorious protector Nagarjuna is renowned as the second teacher regarding these teachings, and there were no teachings known to the glorious protector Arya Nagarjuna, which were not known to the noble one Adisha. One will be convinced that he is the Lord of the teachings. The great noble one Adisha imparted the confidential guidance on the stages of the path to Geshe Domtenpa, and after Geshe Domtenpa asked the noble one, why, after imparting the other's instructions on Dantra, did you impart to me the stages of the path? Adisha answered, apart from you, I found no other recipient upon which this instruction was addressed to Geshe Domtenpa, as he had been blessed as the Lord of teachings. The widespread dissemination of the activities of the great virtuous friend Domtenpa was also dependent on arising, therefore. The two stages of the path of the lineage of the Kathampas of the oral instructions, which were imparted by the great virtuous friend Domtenpa, so with regard to Lhotar Drupjin Namka Gyaltsen, and his own system was he was follower of Dzogchen Nyingma tradition, Dzogchen tradition of, and he was a great practitioner of Vajrapani, and had just as Jay Rinpoche, Lama Tsongkhapa, had visions of Manjushri, Lhotar Drupchen Namka Gyaltsen had visions of Vajrapani. And there is a text written by Jay Rinpoche, which is an answer, Shulin Duzi Tengwa, which is Nyingma Dzogchen teaching. So some scholars say that Jerem Buche cannot have written some text on Dzogchen. It was inserted into his collected works later by others. And so there are such people who say that. The precious teacher, or which so in addition, Tsongkhapa also Tsongkhapa heard from Dagur Khenchen Chökyab, the stages of the pattern lineage of the Kadampa's following scripture, which was imparted by the precious teacher from Tempa to Geshe Kodowa, and who imparted it to Geshe Dolpo and Sharama. The stages of the transmission from one to the other of the subsequent former gurus is clear in the entreaty to Namrim Gurus. In addition, the great noble one initially trained his mind mainly in the three practices taught by Manjushri, definitive emergence, bodhicitta, and the correct view, while later in the kingly solitude writing, after having entreated for long intensely a statue of Disha, anointed with ablation of butter and invoking, he had a vision of for one month of the lineage of the gurus, from the utterly and perfectly enlightened one down to the Lord Dr. Jin Namka Gyaltsen, and especially to Adisha Domdenpa Padova and Sharova. After imparting in addition numerous instructions, finally Padova and the two dissolved into in Adisha. Adisha, after setting his hand on Tsongkhapa crown, said, "Perform extensive deeds for the teaching," and upon Tsongkhapa's answering, "I will attain enlightenment and befriend who enacts the welfare of sentient beings." Numerous extraordinary signs such as these, their appearances and so forth, occurred. At that point, he composed the great stages of the path at his request. So there are various different kinds of leading disciples through the guidance teachings. According to the Lamdun tradition, the lamp of the path, and also Lamrim. So the Lamrim guidance teachings is said to be one which is beneficial to all three types of beings. And so the other tradition is to turn our mind away from the attachment to this life and the next life. At that point, composed great stages at the request of great Abba, the worthy and glorious Sulpu Bhagkonchok, and the worthy and glorious great translator Kepchok Pelsang. However, when Manjushri asked, "Haven't you included within it?" So, with regard to the Kadamp tradition, we have the Kadamp Shungbawa, the scholastic tradition. We have the two texts, Bodhisattva Bhumi and Mahayana Sutra Lamkara. They are combined together, and these two texts are the other two being Bodhisattva Bhumi in Sutra Lamkara, and then the two texts by Shantideva, and then So I have received the teachings on the five treatises of Maitreya. from Ritgen Rinzin Denpa, who had received it from Brevisunga Mokcho Rinpoche. And then I received the teachings on two texts of Shantideva from Kunga Ken Rinpoche Kunga Wangchuk and the Bodhisattva Bhumi and Sutra Lamkara from Ning Rinpoche. And so I have actually revived the tradition of giving this teaching on the six texts of the scholastic tradition of Gadam tradition. So, however, the lineage which was heard by the victorious Ansapa, fathers and sons, is from Tsongkhapa to Gyaltsabje to Dudzin Sherab Junzi Tawa Gyanzin, Kertub Cheje. So, this gives the lineage, these names on page 6 and 7. I received fully the kindness of this Dharma from him, Vajradhara Gonchok Gyaltsen Pesangpo. And alternatively, the Omniscient Noble One to the Noble Sherab Sankhya, and similarly after Dulzin. Alternatively, Dulzin Thakpa Gyaltsen, and similarly after the Noble Sherab Sankhya. Likewise, the great noble being, after composing the stages of the path of enlightenment, set aside the inscriptional codes from the great stages of the path, as well as the extensive repetitions and the proofs, and composed the smaller stages of the path, which summarized well, without omission and essential points. In addition, in the light of the ever-weakening mental power of sent trainees, having taken the import of the statements from the great stages of the path. Nonetheless, since it seems exceedingly unlikely that the knowledge of taking all explanations as practice should exist, this will be of a degeneration of the protection. And since the easy path saw raw guidance on the stage of the path by the omniscient pension and the composition of transmissions from the mouth of Manjushri by the great omniscient conqueror, conciliates the vast and the concise and the severe extremes through scriptures and reasoning. Although it would be unacceptable not to meditate, were I able to, nonetheless, upon reflecting that, since there is a radical necessity for others, my own store of merit is small and my mental acumen is weak, should I become one who fathoms the depths of the understanding of these stages of the path, it would be even more essential than thoroughly investigating high grounds and paths I set down in writing within the limits of my mental capacity and number of paths, the sequence and the respective natures. However, one will have to learn the greatness of the author, the greatness of the Dharma, and the manner of listening and explaining the Dharma from the explanations in the great and small stages of the path. As to the meanings of the statements, its actual author is the author who of this as well. Some assert it to mean that the mental continuum of Adisha and Jatankapa are identical. However, even though the mental continuums are identical, since the mind of noble great being is extremely profound, how can the identity of his mental continuum and that of Adisha be explicitly accepted? Therefore, the meaning of the code. This code is that since the lamp of the path of awakening is the root text which is explained by all the stages of the path, the stages of the teachings and the supreme paths, its actual author is the author of this as well. And the author in this context as well refer to Adisha, the author of lamp for the path. It is akin, for instance, to saying that the meaning of composed by such and such author. So I've seen somewhere that Adisha used to give teach Bhava Viveka's Tarka Jwala, blaze of reasoning, often. So knowledge is vast, but this life is short. And therefore, there is this some kind of saying that one should, since we have a short lifespan, but that what we need to learn is so vast, we should actually take the essence and... So otherwise, we see short texts written by Master Atisha and think that his teachings are all these short teachings only. But Atisha was said to have, given teachings on this Tarkachivala very often. So now then, in accordance with the lamp, the graduated paths, or the graduated path, then when in conception, the conception that all teachings are contradictory, non-contradictory, and that all scriptures are instructions, dawns, should one inquires, when inquire what is the reason for which the totality of the paths, which is the topic of the scriptures, and within the graduated paths of the path of beings of three scopes. What is the manner in which to regenerate the path of beings of great scope in one's continuum, the path shared with the being of middle scope and must have previously been traveled upon, and to generate the path shared with the being of middle scope and one's in one's continuum, the path of being of small scope must have previously been traveled upon. The totality of paths, which is the topic of all scriptures, is summarized within the stages of the path of the being of three scopes. Since the Buddha's initially generated bodhicitta and accumulating the collections in the middle and showing finally the deeds of actualizing fully enlightenment are for the exclusive benefit of sentient beings, and all utterances of Dharma also are formulated for the exclusive benefit of sentient beings. The predicate, the benefit of sentient beings, includes contingently high status and ultimately definite excellence, because whatever utterances deal with the attainment of the first, the higher status are included within the actual cycle of Dharma of the being of small scope or the cycle of Dharma shared with the beings of small scope. In addition, from within the two definite excellences, there with liberation nominations, whatever utterances deal with the attainment of the first are included within the there is in liberation within the cycle of Dharma to share with the beings of middle and scope, and whatever utterances deal with the attainment of omniscience are included within the cycle of Dharma of beings with great scope. Irrespective of which of the two vehicles of the great vehicle, the vehicle of perfection and paramantra, one enters, it is definite that the gateway is bodhicitta alone, and to generate bodhicitta in the continuum in one's mind stream, one needs to, a compassion which cannot bear all sentient beings excruciating pain. To generate a great compassion which cannot bear all sentient beings' excruciating pain, one must first generate the two convictions that the triple gem has the capacity to protect one from the fears of suffering and fear of suffering of cycling existence and lower rebirths. As well explained at the time of the path of being small and middle in scope, since one will be unable to generate a forceful compassion which cannot bear other sentient beings' excruciating suffering while lacking oneself a forceful mind desiring liberation from the fear of suffering of lower realms and cycling existence. Since it is said in the Sutra of the Ten Wheels of Kishidegarbha, if one is able to drink a stream, how will one be able to swallow the great ocean? If one is able to become habituated to both vehicles, how one will train in the great vehicles? And the stages of the path says these. Then explain the actual manner of turning the mind to the graduated path. On page 14,
Chanju Lamji Rinpe Chi Gwambe Ngaijin Pasha Senshin Tunji Dribe Chile Chö.
The river path.
Mishi Ngao Chokho Rinal Pesha Yuhan Mendoa. Shinti Gyanane Ya Tarachi Mendoa Asam Tabo Sekide.
I sometimes wonder if the four guardians of the four continents are on the four sides of Mount Meru, as mentioned. I wonder if it comes from tantric sources, or I think that this tradition must have actually come from China, where they seem to have some kind of a tradition. So the Buddha is the founding teacher, our Lord and Master. So of course we have this tradition of going through the Lama, then to tell meditation deities, and then Buddha, Bodhisattvas, and so forth. And so, this may have to do with the concept of having the emanation bodies of Buddhas with the deities as the monk, the Sambhog higher form. So with regard to using the Durva grass, how it's positioned under your mattress has the significance of drawing the wind prana energy into the channels in the body. So on page 15 it says in the last paragraph, under one's couch draw the depiction of a swastika in white chalk in the manner of wheel of Dharma, one on top of that one must lay the extremely soft cushion of Durva grass, whose tips point inwards and whose roots point outwards without intermingling the stems. So this particular way of placing the Durva grass has the significance of drawing the wind energy into the central channel. So the manner of arranging beautiful oblations which were honestly obtained and set down. So Ansapa says, have the 3 feet, hands and neck, the 4th teeth, lips and tongue. And so with the 4 head, eyes, shoulders and the breath are the eightfold dharma of Virajana. Since it is liable to settle in the half posture, regarding the half posture, having drawn the left foot inwards and having set the right one outside, either drop the ankle to the left one beneath the right thigh, or without dropping the thighs, testicles down to cause the tip of the left foot reach up to the genitals. Straighten the neck, so this hold this your body in these positions for meditation. Straighten the neck, bend the throat slightly. Leave teeth and lips in their natural position. Place the tip of the tongue slightly on the palate. Straighten also the head facing forward without tilting it. Let the gaze rest on the tip of the nose. Straighten completely both shoulders and breathe. Breathe softly, and so when you breathe in and out, you should not make noise. But it has to be, you have to breathe rather naturally and slowly. Regarding the breathing softly, one should run meditation in samadhi after having counted leisurely 21 times the outer and inner flows of air and breath, without breathing noisily, strongly, or in agitated fashion, and the like. One will be suitable to be a vessel for meditation on samadhi. It is said in the Highway of Conquest, the precious Geluk Mahamudra text, on a support which is comfortable for dhyana. For concentration, having adopted the seven bodily points, you will purify the corpse by the nine cycles of breathing. So you purify the breath through the nine cycles of breathing. And regarding adopting this posture, although some softly lofty gurus of yore, having identified the beginning of meditations as akin to Sanskrit, some lofty holy ones then asserted our faith in the beginning of meditations akin to that in the Sanskrit language, our school engages in a thorough examination of motivation within continuum, because the great omniscient Panchen Lama said, in the laughing chant of love song, an answer to the excellent white question. So this text called The Queries from a Pure Heart by Lama Tsongkhapa, Panchen Lobsang Chökyen has written an answer to the questions raised in that text. That Supreme Fearless Guru asserted the apex of the beginning of all meditations is the thorough examination of one's continuum, like the Sanskrit language. Hence, after having thoroughly examined the motivations, one has to imagine on the stage of the path of enlightenment, but in addition, when upon examination one thinks, this is meditation out of desire for the profit of this life, a desire for fame, a desire for eight worldly dharmas, a desire for respect and reputation, and this meditation out of striving for the import of future lives, should one meditate out of desire for perfect this time, desire for fame. So you should meditate and hear when until you have a very strong feeling that moves you. So on page 21, where there's a quotation from Arya Nagarjuna, each has drunk one more milky than the four oceans at present. Since migrants follow ordinary beings, they drink vastly more than that. And the Arya Deva says, if there is no boundary whatsoever to this ocean of suffering, child, upon sinking in it, why doesn't fear arise at all? In the absence of even the slightest fear, anguish, anxiety, and quivering of body hair, when you are sinking into this ocean of suffering, whose depth and boundary are hard to fathom, how could you be a scholar and not a child?
Mm-hmm.
that are childish. Hence, not only did I and the old sentient beings experience from times without beginning until now of manifold of the sufferings of second existence in general and of the sufferings of the three lower realms in particular, but at present, yet again, the depth of an extent of suffering are hard to fathom. Hence, having obtained this life, a special human, this time a special human body of leisure and endowment, which is hard to be found, to find and if found of great import. At this time, when I have encountered the precious teachings of the Buddha, which is difficult to encounter, should I not obtain from now onwards either a state of utter perfect Buddhahood or a certain liberation which has mattered all of the sufferings of second existence, and I will have to experience yet again the general sufferings of second existence, and in particular the numerous multifarious sufferings of lower realms. Therefore, since Guru Triple Gem, who is dwelling in front of myself, has the capacity to protect me from those sufferings while thinking these lines, I will attain perfect Buddhahood for the sake of all mother sentient beings. For that purpose, I will go for refuge in Triple Gem. Guru Triple Gem, recite as many times as possible in the verse of refuge. I take refuge in the Guru. After having contemplated that oneself and all sentient beings surrounding oneself, recite unhurriedly 108 times, 21 times, or at the very least 3 times and so forth. The visualization in this context, a stream of 5 sorts of nectar accompanied by light streaming from the paths of the bodies of the Guru, and directly lineage gurus on the periphery of Guru Manindra and so forth. And upon having entered the body of mind, body and mind of all sentient beings, both myself and the disciple dispels, that is, purifies all sins and obscurations accumulated from beginning of time as well. And having sealed the body of the glorious Guru, disobeyed his speech, troubled his mind, engaged in faithless abuse and so forth, in belief, in brief, all of the sins and obscurations related to the Guru. So in doing the visualization, the purification, I think earlier His Holiness was mentioning that when you do Dzogrim practice, then you don't actually let the negativities kind of go out of the body, but actually light is imagined and it dispels the darkness within your channel. And not visualizing the negativities going out, pushing them out of the body. So we are doing this purification practice in relation to the Sangha.
Sanjay
So usually I used to say that the Siddhis prayer, the taking of refuge and bodhicitta, by the collections I make through the through generosity and so forth, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. So if you do your so when you do the single-pointed concentration practice, which we, if you wish to develop it, then you use Buddha Shakyamuni himself as the focus of your meditation. And then, since here the practices are given in connection with Tantra, then you do the visualizations just as it is given in the Guhyasamaja Tantra and so forth. So we are going to go, we are going through the four immeasurables. Lama So you visualize the guru in the form of Shakyamuni, and then on the four petals. On to the right, Yamantaka, and left is Jagasambara, and then Goyasamacha deities in front of the guru, and then on the petal behind the guru, the Hevajra Tantra and deities. So you have this visualization of the merit field, and from the heart of the guru comes radiates light rays, and on these, the tip of this rays of light, you have the different lineage lamas, such as Telopa Naropa, and the Supreme Dompipa, and so forth. On top, and then to the right are the Maitreya, and so Maitreya Sangha, and so forth, of the extensive contact lineage, and to the left are on the tip of the rays of light on the left, Manjushri, Nagarjuna, and so forth, the profound view lineage, and then in the front are one's own root lama. Surrounded by all the lamas from whom with whom you have direct spiritual connection, having received teachings from them. And then these lamas, and beside them are the, in front of them, you visualize the different texts, their own writings. And so you have the five sets of the lineage lamas around, and then they are surrounded by the tutelary deities, Buddha's bodhisattvas, and Dharma protectors. And all of them are marked with the Om on their crown, and then Ah at their throat, and Hum at their heart. And from the Hum syllable at the heart of your guru, Shakyamuni, the rays of light emit, and then the wisdom beings are invoked. And then you say the prayers such as protector of the all sentient beings without exception. You have destroyed the forces of Mara, and you know everything as it is. And please come here. And so forth. And then these deities dissolve into the pledge beings. And then next you prepare a bath chamber and then give ablution to the guru, deities, and so forth, through the you make the offering of mandala, which actually encompasses all the practices of purification and accumulation, purification of negativities and accumulation of merit. And so the first one of the seven limb offering is seven branch practices, prostration. So you imagine your body multiplying and equal to the number of particles on the ground, and then make prostrations to the guru, deity, and so forth. So each body has numerous heads, and each head has numberless mouth, each mouth numberless innumerable tongue. And then with in a melodious voice you do prayers and practice homage with one's speech. So with the body as numerous as the atoms of this universe, you make prostrations with your body. So with regard to the offering of a parasol, it says the Dukchok supreme or sublime parasol, which also is mentioned in the Lamrim Chemo by Tsongkhapa. Here the author says Dukchok means Dukichok, so except inserting this the connecting particle, he uses the same words, so he's honest, says it doesn't give extra sense. So perhaps the duk or the parasol has some meaning or significance and symbolism. So first we'll have tea. So with regard to the offerings, there are offerings which are unsurpassable and offerings which are surpassable. Prayer to Bodhin Lhamo was said. page number.
Büyüdü lan.
Büyüdü
son
ver.
Dedi.
Lana bebe çobanı çobanın acı zor gidiyor lana ye bana ne mi cide be çoban ya da dinle canlı olsam bana zor be tuzun da bir sen kurtu bu.
So till here is about the offering among the seven limbs of offering. So the first one is completed, and second one is purification. So as for the purification, it reads that purification is mainly about feeling remorse and regret to whatever the negativities or bad actions that one might have committed earlier. And having a very strong determination that one will not indulge in such actions in future. And it is said that if one remembers in this way, then whatever the qualities that we may not have developed within us, it will be a cause which brings the qualities within us. And whatever the qualities and understanding that we have will increase manifolds. And when Adisha was in Tibet, so one day on the way he met a child who offered him mandala and also purified and confessed his negative actions.
So during the purification ceremony, ritual ceremony, when the master asks you whether you have seen the negative indulgence, that negative actions that you have committed, and if you answer yes, even though you have not seen it, or when the master asks you whether are you determined or confident that you won't commit such things in future, and even if you reply or response and positive, but even though in your mind you are not decided or you are not so certain, then of course you will also get a negative
karma of telling lies to your master. And the next limb is about rejoicing, and Lama Tsongkhapa has written that rejoicing to oneself and rejoicing also to others' actions, especially the positive actions, is one of the easiest means to accumulate huge merits. And the next is registration for teaching the Dharma. So Lord Buddha also, having been requested by the gods and goddesses to turn the Dharma wheel, so hence he also, listening to the request of those gods and goddesses, he turned the Dharma wheel three times in this world. And the next is a restriction for staying without passing away. The request goes in such a way that if you stay in this world, you are the source of all the happiness, and through your teachings, so all the sentient beings will be benefited, and everyone will develop happiness, and you also stay in this world, and with your manifestations, please manifest it with your manifestation power. You can manifest even the same number as the number of the numberless sands on the Ganges River, and fold that too for eons and eons. So in this way, you could benefit. It will be very beneficial for the disciples. And next one is the level of dedication. So I always feel something negative in my mind. So here, when it speaks about offering, especially about the material offering, and requesting your masters to give teaching, and when there is some positions and ranks where there is a possibility to earn or to gain a lot of money and materialist things, so when persons get such kind of ranks and in positions, so once they are in those positions, then they take a lot of corruptions, they take a lot of offerings in the form of material, and they waste, take the public money for their own purpose. So they say that they have to do that because they too has paid a lot in order to reach that position. So in this world, when we think about corruption, so all the government expenses for the people in order to help them. So if without corruption, if all those intended for the people were really directed towards the benefit of those people, then of course there will be a lot of changes. It will be different. So, but the thing is that that is an advantage, or actually the people, the general people are at loss. So if it is a fact or if it's a reality, and someone who has all the qualities, then we have to accept and we have to take ownership of those things. So otherwise, even if you offer materials or any other offerings, then there is no way that we can take claim upon it. So once when I was in Mongolia, I think it was my first time in early 1979. So at that time they were communist government. I went to a museum, and I saw some drawings, and the pictures on the wall, there is a monk with whose mouth was opening, and the people were entering into his mouth. So which shows that the monks are actually destroying the life of the normal people. So the people who explained this to me was a little bit hesitant to explain, and I told him that there is no need to feel hesitate. So this is true if we do not really practice as a sincere practitioner and a monk. So next is the limb of dedication, then after that it's the offering of mandala. And if possible, the material of the mandala needs to be gold and precious gems. So in order to, when we speak about offering all the eons and all the Mount Meru's and mountains and everything, so for the general people, this may be the mandala itself retaining the same size, and also the Mount Meru and all the other offerings also not becoming smaller. So this is something which is beyond the imagination and the capability of the ordinary persons. So if someone who is beyond the ordinary level, of course, there may be a possibility. So since the Mount Meru or the celestial vault or the vault that we live in, we have a connection to the place or the vault where we live. So therefore, it helps since we have a karmic relation with that. So if we offer that to our masters, then there is a way that it could benefit. So if it's really a practitioner, a true practitioner, then of course we have to practice in such a way that we will attain the ultimate attainment, which is free of all the conceptual mistaken views, and that all the external and the internal obscurations are clear. So while offering the mandala, we have to visualize the our spiritual master in front of us, and from the spiritual master, which is now in the form of Lord Buddha, from his heart of hearts, a light beam emits. And on the two sides, the masters of the extensive learning lineage, and also on the right side, the masters of the profound view lineage, on the two sides. So the two lineage masters on the two sides. So then the masters of the practitioner side. So gradually, the five of these masters and also Manjushri and the Maitri also being dissolved into the heart of Lord Buddha. So having all these spiritual masters being dissolved into the heart of Lord Buddha, this is called the Vajradhara, which is the supreme spiritual master. And after that, even the Lord Buddha himself also being dissolved into the heart of one's spiritual master. So having visualized all your spiritual masters in this way, we have to offer the prayer of seventh limb from the offering to the prostrations and so on. The verse also reads in this way that I offer all the four continents, the sun, moon, and all the Mount Meru's and all the precious gems in the form of my merits. And the concept of the four kayas or the four enlightened bodies is very important. So if we have an understanding about the four kayas, the four enlightened bodies, then there is a possibility that we could be able to explain and the nature of these explanations. When we speak about our spiritual master as the spiritual enlightened master, as an embodiment of the four kayas or the four enlightened bodies, so one need to have understanding about the nature of the four kayas. So these are the supplications to our spiritual masters, having seen and having a general understanding about how to rely upon one's spiritual master. So having supplicated from the depth of your heart to your master, so we have to visualize that from the forehead of our Lama, once a spiritual master, a beam of rays emitted, and which arrives and dissolves into oneself, and we have to visualize in such a way that it helps in clearing all the negative karmas and obscurations within us, and the mental continuum of ours will be filled with the positive karmas and realizations. So having till here is the preliminary. So practices, having completed all the preliminary practices and offerings, so now is the actual portion, which is on the benefits of having rely on the spiritual masters. And next is about the negativity side or the faulty side of having not relied upon a spiritual master. So, from one side, one spiritual master is the best and the most excellent field of accumulating merits. So, whatever the merits, and even in order to, for an individual also, in order to generate a positive mind, so one spiritual master is one of the main causes, one of the main factors from which we could generate a positive mind. And it is also the source from where we could understand what are the perfect means to attain enlightenment. So if you have understanding about the means to, or you know the means to attain enlightenment, then of course, so those understandings and your knowledge will be broadened or can increase. So the beneficial qualities of having relied upon a spiritual master is that having rely upon a spiritual master in the right way, through that our spiritual masters will be pleased. So with that we ourselves will be the one who will be benefited. So through that, since we are entering the path for the first time, it is the spiritual master which leads us and which shows us the path. So in this way, it will be a source of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas to be pleased with us. So if we are able to rely upon the spiritual masters in the right way, then that spiritual master will lead us and always guide us from the life and life after next and subsequent lives. And also he will protect us and from falling to lower rebirths, and also even the small, even the tiniest negative karmas in this life through which we feel difficulties, we undergo problems and sufferings, even this will be cleared and eliminated. And as it is said that if we do not understand how the origin of the suffering and the way how we are born into this samsara, so if we do not understand that order, then there will be no possibility to eliminate the root of the samsara.
Mm-hmm.
So the mindfulness is very important here, and we have to be watchful, and we have to be mindful of all these practices, even on a daily basis. So in that way, there is a possibility that we could accumulate millions and millions of merits every day. And having relied upon a spiritual master in the right way, one becomes much nearer to the ultimate state of enlightenment, and it is being clearly stated by Aryanagarjuna that even though you may not be able to do any kind of offerings, or even though you refrain from doing any kinds of offerings apart from offering or being service to your dharma, so being service to your dharma is the supreme of all the offerings. So merely rely upon that has the potential to bring you closer and bring you to the state of enlightenment. So those persons who are in service or who rely upon one spiritual master in the right way has more strength, or are never being disturbed by the afflicted emotions, and they will be never against the practices of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and they will be mindfulness of all their actions, and in that way their understandings and realizations will keep on increasing from time to time. And ultimately, all the immediate and the long-term goals of every individual's of yours will be accomplished through these means. And having relied upon the spiritual masters, so even those karmas that will bring you directly to the lower rebirths in the next and the subsequent lives will be also ripened quickly in this life itself in the form of small ailments and illnesses, which is clearly listed in the Uttamasaka, in the Gandhava Sutra. And the next is the faulty of not relying upon a spiritual master. So it is said that once we have taken or we have relied upon the spiritual masters, and if we do not obey the rules, or if we are in disregard to one's spiritual masters, then of course one will be, even in this life, one will end up having more illnesses and the problems. And even in the next life, it is certain that one will be reborn to the animal realms and also the other lower rebirths. And for this, there are many quotes here, which all in one or the other way proves the same thing. So even Lama Tsongkhapa has stated here that the criticizing one's master, so even though you might be a scholar and engaging in the learning extensively and meditating and concentration, but once you are against and you are criticizing your spiritual masters, so all your practices will be a gateway or will be a cause that bring you directly to the lower rebirths. So, Mushu Thom Rinpoche at that time was one of the very clear examples of a bodhisattva in Tibet. And he has stated that the practice of not relying or not accompanying the bad or the non-Dharma friends is one of the practices of the bodhisattva. And he says that the non-Dharma or the non-Dharma friends or the friends which will bring you to negativities won't be one with a horn on their head. So they will arrive or they will come to you in a very simple and a very cunning manner, which will ultimately, the one will harm you. So, as an individual, if you are yourself a lesser person in terms of your practice and your character, so even though if you accompany a person who has a better understanding or, in short, a greater person, but what you will get is even only a small benefit. So, a great being like a bodhisattva, even though he accompany or he goes with a lower person, but the benefit or the result that he got is a great one. And Gyatso Rinpoche again stated here that a negative friend, a non-Dharma friend, is someone with whom if you go and if you stay, then your afflicted emotions and disturbing emotions arise within you, and it becomes a hindrance and obstructions to your practices of learning and meditating. And the level of your compassion and mercy and love decreases. So this is the qualities of a negative friend. So next is how to realign through practice, how to learn through thought. So here it states that first it is important to generate very deep devotion and faith. And it is said that since faith is the root of all the benefits and accomplishments, so it is important to first train in such a way that one develops a very strong faith in one's master. And in this degenerated period, it is only the master who comes in an ordinary being, who shows an ordinary characters through which makes it possible for us to receive the teachings and the Dharma. And it is also stated in the Tantras that in the degenerated time, that even the Vajradhara or the ultimate, the Supreme Master will also come as a very ordinary person in order to deliver the teachings. It is written in the Hevaraja's text that in the degenerated time, my masters will be also someone with an ordinary appearances. And all these facts are also proven by the life story of Marpa Rinpoche and also Jesuit Miller Rinpoche. So if we look at the life story of one of the greatest masters of Kagyu traditions, Marpa, how he has worked hard and how he has been service to Narpa Rinpoche. Lama Narpa. So there is a story here how the murderer has vocal to and how he sacrifices to be service of his root master Naropa. And at that time, Panchanarupa has manifested himself as the deity of Raja in front of the sky and asked Marbara, to whom will you like to prostrate? And Marbara replied that I will prostrate to the protector of Raja, who is in the form of the deity. Then at that time, Naropa said that there is no such call a protector of a Hivaraja, which is more important or which is even before the spiritual masters. And even before the masters, one spiritual master, there is not even the title or the term called Buddha. And even all the Buddhas that has been working, that has been striving for hundreds and thousands of eons, are also through the forces of one's spiritual masters. And having said that, he dissolved himself into the form of the deity. So if we have to visualize our one spiritual master as the true Buddha, then of course Buddha is an enlightened being who is free of all the obscurations and afflicted emotions. Then we happen to see a lot of false nature with the spiritual master who is in front of us. So here it is said that is absolutely due to one's own view, one's own nature of looking at one's spiritual master. But it doesn't mean that those faults are by nature, but those faults are not from the spiritual master's side, but from our own mental projection. And also, as the story goes, in the history, there are many instances when even the Lord Buddha, who is in the form of the enlightened being, but there are instances where many didn't saw him as an enlightened being. And also Asanga's story of seeing Maitreya, Lord Maitreya, in the form of a she-dog. So if we also look at the life stories of Milarepas, there are a lot of such instances. So therefore, we have to think in such a way that whatever the faulty nature that appears in our spiritual master is all due to our own mental projections, or the afflicted emotions that is present within us, make us see the problems and the faulty nature in our spiritual masters. So in this way, if we are able to meditate, then of course, without much effort, we will be able to generate a very deep faith and devotion to one's master, and we have to supplicate in such a way that may we be able to generate such a faith to one's master. So having supplicated in such a way, we have to visualize that the five different forms of the nectars with the light rays emitted from our master's head and continuously fall on us. And with that, it clear all the negative karmas and obscurations and the ailments and whatever a kind of the negative things are clear and eliminated completely from our body and our mental continuum. Even, but what are the obscurations and what are the disturbances that make us look at our spiritual master as a real Buddha? The reason is that some spiritual master seems to be very short-tempered, some seems to be unbiased, or some seems to be biased, falling on one side, some seems to be very miser, and some seems to be not being concentrated on one's practice, and some seems to be very less knowledge. Knowledgeable. So, we have to visualize or we have to think in such a way that all these are mere appearances but not the real fact of our gurus. So in this way it will help us to generate a deep faith towards one spiritual master. So next is how to recollect the kindness of our spiritual master. We have to visualize in such a way that these spiritual masters are so kind to us, and the reason is that for the countless number of lives we have been born in the samsaric world and the lower rebirths, so we have been undergoing a lot of sufferings, are tormented by all the sufferings for this number of years. So it is only the spiritual masters who came to our rescue and who came to help us. So therefore, the spiritual master is very, he's very kind, and we have to remember his kindness, and we have to be grateful to our spiritual masters. If you look at the life stories of Lord Buddha, he has even offered his own body, and he has put thousands of lamps on his own body in order to receive even one single verses of teachings. And if for the sake of teaching, he has also sacrificed, he has also given away his princely estates, he has given away his children and also his wives. And Lama Atisha has also, in the same manner, in order to receive the lineage of the bodhicitta, he has underwent a lot of hurdles and went very far away to receive the teaching. So when we speak about the masters, so even if you are a monk, of course, the first day when you are ordained, even the master that teach you from the basic alphabet onwards, who teach you about how to read, so all this should be counted as one's most important spiritual master. And when the spiritual masters give a kind of teaching to you, we have to visualize in such a way, we have to think in such a way that through that teaching, one is able to learn new things. We are able to gain a lot more wisdom out of it. And also it helps to eliminate the afflicted emotions within us. So in this way, if we are able to think those different qualities and those different benefits, then of course it will be also a step towards generating a deep faith towards one's spiritual master.
Rang la ngepo le beba, lamo rang ngepo,
So the third Dalai Lama, once being requested to give Guru Yoga teaching, so by one of his disciples at that time, he replied to his disciple that since you do not have a view of seeing your master as the Buddha himself. So even if I give the teaching, it will be very difficult for you to be of benefit, of beneficial. So the next, how to rely upon your spiritual master by practice. So one of the many ways to be of service to your one's master is the first offering, engaging in different offerings, and the offerings can be from one's physical, we can be of service to one's master, and also obeying and listening to one's spiritual master is also one of the main ways to be of service. And when we make offerings to our spiritual masters, we have to always offer the best thing that we have. And even though you may not have very good quality offerings, but we have to offer it from a right motivation. And it's also said that even to be of service to one spiritual master physically, including helping him with daily books and so on, is also a source of huge accumulations. And how to be of service to one's spiritual masters through our speech is in this way, that we have to always shower praise and acknowledge the qualities that is present in one's spiritual masters. So most of these practices are and visualizations are actually prescribed during the meditative sessions, but even during the intervals and in between the sessions also, we have to be strive as much as possible to be able to implement these practices. And what to do at the end is that having focus on our spiritual masters with the combination of the analytical and placement meditation. We have to meditate for over 30 minutes, and at the concluding, so whatever want to visualize the spiritual master on our head, so having supplicated and thus far, we have to think that our similar spiritual master which we have meditated springs, arises from that and dissolve in us. And that we ourselves become also the Lord Shakyamuni, and all the sentient beings also becomes Lord Shakyamunis. In this way, if you recite the mantra of Munimani Mahamuni Soma, so with such a visualization, we have to recite the Om Mani Mani Ma Mani Sova as much as possible. And at the end, we have to dedicate in such that whatever the merits that we have accumulated, may I become the Buddha, and so on and so on. So how, what to do between the sessions is, between the sessions we have to read the life stories of the great practitioners such as Telopa, Naropa, and Marba. And so whatever is more suitable for us, we can read. So we will post the sweet part here for a while, and we will go to the sacred words of Manjushri. So second, how to rely upon one's spiritual masters and how to practice after that. So the time, the period when the Lord Buddha comes to this world is considered as the luminous period. So in during such period, of course, we have the opportunity to listen to the teachings. And the other periods where the Buddha doesn't descend on this world is considered as dark periods. So if we look at the periods, so the most of the periods happen to be the dark period where there is no teaching of Buddhas in this world. So, and one of the leisure is being able to reborn in the central place where there are the, where the teachings of the Buddhas are flourished. But even though you are born in the central place where there is the teachings, but if you are born as a deaf or dumb, then you have, there is not much possibility for one to practice as much as other persons. And as for the central central place, there is different ways to distinguish, to define the central from the spiritual side and from the location side. So in Indian, as for in India, the central is considered as the Bodh Gaya. And having reborn in the central place, then having a faith to the three trainings. And also, the one quality is that there is a Buddha. Also, it should be also a time when there is Lord Buddha's teaching and Lord Buddha himself. So the present time is, of course, not a period because Lord Buddha has passed away, but eventually his teachings are still in prevail. So we can consider it as the luminous period. So even in Tibetan tradition, of course, we can find many practitioners who have really very supreme experiences, and some are really amazing and astonishing persons who are quite different from the normal persons, someone who seems to have clairvoyance, and someone who have vision of the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. And in the Burma and in the places of Thailand, there are also such instances who are referred to as Arahat in popular manner. And as it is being explained through the Middle Way philosophy, and then
Zayu do zayu do zubun zibe zibe changbe
So we can look upon those popularly known to be arhats is someone as being explained in the medieval philosophy as having eliminated the afflicted emotions which arises out of the grasping upon the person as independent and eternal. So as Pamukul Rinpoche says, so if we are born in a very remote places, then there is no way that we will be able to listen to the teaching. And if you're reborn in the layperson's life, then of course we have to spend the life among the attachment and desire. So in Tibet, even though we consider the Tibet as a central place, but since we have so normally the in terms of the religious or the spiritual distinction, a central place has to be a place where there is the four disciples of Lord Buddha, which are the Bhikshu and Bhikshunis, and the two laypersons, the laypersons with laypersons vows. So even though we do not have the Bhikshunis tradition, so by just having the Bhikshus, we can consider the Tibet as a central place. So the population in this world, of course, is over 7 billion. But if we distinctively look at all those persons, whether they have all those leisures and advantages, then not all the human beings, not all those who are born as human beings, have those leisures and advantages. So those who have the opportunity or those who have the human rebirth with the leisures and such advantages, we should be able to utilize in such a way that it becomes beneficial. And again, bodhicitta is the source of source and the backbone of all the paths, and one should strive to practice in the six perfections, having rely upon such an altruistic mind of bodhicitta. So if we are reborn in the lower rebirths, then of course there is not much opportunity for us to be strive towards accumulating the positive things. And even if we are reborn in the heavenly beings or in the gods and goddesses with the long life, then of course due to the freedom or due to the facilities that they have, so they are not renounced and they are not able to accumulate such marriage. So this human rebirth that we have found is something that we have never found before. And during this life, we have to make sure that we are able to fulfill our greatest wishes and also our purpose. As the saying goes that previous life, we are a bhikshu in the previous, so that's why we have such a good life this time. So this life should not be a cause that we are reborn in the hell or the lower rebirths, lower realms in the next life. So due to the previous life's karma, we are able to, we are born in such a way who has all the facilities to practice, who met the spiritual masters. We have taken so many vows, and of course, we have so many commitments and the precepts, but we are not able to abide by all these vows and commitments. So there are a lot of downfalls in relation to the vows that we have not preserved. So therefore, even though you are born in a place where there the teaching is there, where you have met the masters, where you have received all the teachings, but it may be a cause, if you are not careful, to be reborn as in the lower realms in the next life. And all your living, you always were always fed upon the lives, the life and the living that is being offered by others. For example, for myself, having a title of a lama, and maybe I may tell lies, or I may even boast. Then of course these are mistakes. So when we have the control in our hand, we have to make sure that we have done good things. We do good things in this life, that and at the end of the day, we are not remorseful. We do not have to regret our actions, and we should be confident for oneself that this the present life and the whatever actions and the karmas accumulations that we've done in this person life will be able to bring a very fruitful and a good life next. And here is about the identification of the leisure and advantages of the human rebirth. And the next thing is thinking about how precious the human rebirth. And also thinking about the teaching, how it is difficult to find, and also that we have to, how we have to strive forward to do the practice from today and from the moment itself. And the difficulty of human rebirth difficulty to find such a precious human rebirth can be also understood from different illustrations that are presented in the sutras, such as if we spray a handful of beans on a glass, so it is almost impossible, or the chances are very, very much limited that one or two beans will stay on that glass. So similarly, even though we have taken countless number of rebirths in the samsaric world, the human rebirth comes only once in a million. And the human rebirth is also precious due to the fact that if we are among the three higher rebirths, so even the gods and goddesses, even though they have all the facilities and they are higher rebirth, but due to the facilities that they have, they are do not those facilities do not become a condition for them to practice dharma. So even also the difficulty to find a precious human rebirth can be think in terms of that if we pile a different grains, and if you pile it upon one upon another, so at the tip of the heap of the grains is only one or two single grains. So similarly, even though we have taken numberless amounts of human numberless amount of rebirths in the samsara, the time that you have taken, the number of human rebirths that you have taken is only one or twice. So having all those facilities at this time and having all the facilities, so it is not about to count how many human rebirths are there in the outside, but internally we have to visualize and we have to think and check ourselves whether the human rebirth that you have is beneficial, whether you have put it to use or not. And in terms of that, whatever we do in a day, sometimes most of these actions are negative actions. And what the negative actions are all done with the negative motivation and also the nature of the actions and also the conclusion also. All the factors are combined or assembled for those negative actions. So even though you might have engaged in the virtuous and the positive actions, so maybe the cause is also not strong enough. Even the actual virtuous or the positive action itself may be also under the influence of a lot of distractions and the other emotions. So even the conclusion mind or the rejoicing is also not completed. So in this way, whatever the positive actions or karmas that we may have accumulated are very small and very less in terms of the negative karmas that we have accumulated. So from now on, whatever, if we do not really strive hard to do something beneficial, then of course, after this life, it is almost impossible to find such a human rebirth. So in this way, we have to think about the importance and the rare nature of this precious human rebirth. And in terms of the animals, so the animals, whatever that is visible to us, are all scattered over the world, are the ones with the huge bodies and that are visible and evident to us. But apart from that, it is said that the maximum number of the animals lie under the seabeds, and also due to their tiny bodies, we are not able to see with our naked eyes. So even we are a monk and having renounced from our family life, we came to such a great learning center. Then having arrived here, of course, many people are striving hard to the studies. But there are some, even though they are located, they arrive at such a place, which is the center of this great Tibetan Buddhist learning centers. But then they came here, it seems they came here mainly for their stomach. This speaks about the number of the money offerings or so and so. And also, even though they study, and after completing the studies, or the purpose behind the studies is once graduated from here, the main ambition was to go to some foreign countries, to some enter, to earn money. So the main purpose and our goal should be the state of enlightenment. And so as Lama Tsongkhapa says that at least we should be able to bring our intention and motivation towards such an aspiration. So nowadays we can see a lot of persons, even though they call themselves practitioners, but while meditating, their focus and attention is not clear, or the words are not clear, they cannot remember clearly. And the intermediate verses read that for many lives we have enjoyed the facilities and the wealth of the samsara. And when the fifth Dalai Lama composed these verses, of course, it indicates very clearly how a great practitioner he himself is. So even though we have been enjoying such luxuries and wealth for many lives, but what is the present condition, which is one of the worst? And so having seen this, we should be able to renounce towards the wealth of this present. So we have relied upon, we have trusted to the wealth of this life So therefore, the result is the present condition that we see for ourselves. So after that, we will go to the southern lineage. So second, while relying upon the spiritual master, gradually training the mind, we are in page number 201, the Southern Lineage Lamrim, the Pure Garland, the book, New and Revised Edition, identifying freedom and fortune, holding wrong views, the three lower states, a Buddha not having appeared, remote land, being stupid or mute, being a long life god. If you like these eight non-liberties, you possess the eight freedoms. The five forms of good fortune in relation to oneself are, in general, being a human. As a human being born in what qualifies as a central land, according to religious criteria, having five complete senses, not having committed any of the five acts of immediate retribution, and having faith in the Tripitaka. Page number 202. Contemplating their great potential, the letter to a disciple sees the basis of the path of a Sukhada to become a guide for sentient beings. The powerful mind that human beings have attained, such a path has not been attained by gods, nagas, or by demigods, not by Garudas, Vidyadharas, Kinaras, or Urukhas. Those in the three lower states, since they are many experiencing the results of non-virtue, have very little power in those lives to accumulate karma. As for gods, although they enjoy the results of virtue, they have but little power to accumulate karma. In humans, however, the potential to accumulate virtues and sinful karma is very strong. In particular, since we, the people of Jambadeva, have very powerful karma, when we practice correct abandonment and application, we achieve excellent rebirths as gods and humans, the nirvana of a listener or solitary realizer, bodhicitta guiding all beings to the state of Sukhada and Buddhahood. Thinking the rebirth that I have attained is far greater than a wish-granting gem, meditate until profound joy arises in you like that of a beggar who has found a treasure. Contemplating the difficulty of obtaining freedom and fortune, the difficulty of attaining them from the angle of similes, the guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life sees, like a turtle poking its neck through the hole of a yolk floating on a great ocean. It is said that when on a great ocean, a golden yolk with a single opening drifts in all directions, carried by the wind, and a blind turtle rises to the surface of the ocean about once every 100 years, it will be almost inconceivable that his neck will pass through it. The following is a clearer simile. If we were to throw a handful of dried peas onto a wall, it would be highly unlikely for one of them to stick to it. Under the fact that one human life with freedom and fortune is similar to the peas that stick to a wall in meditation, apply the significance of these similes to yourself until you have truly assimilated it. The difficulty of attaining them from the viewpoint of their causes. Generally speaking, to gain an ordinary happy rebirth, it is necessary to absorb at least one aspect of ethical discipline. In particular, to obtain a human life with freedom and fortune, as Nagarjuna said, from generosity comes wealth, from ethical discipline a happy rebirth. You must have pure ethical discipline as a base, supplement it with generosity and so forth, and complete this with stainless prayers. Nowadays, since those who produce such causes are very rare, it is natural that their result, a human life complete with freedom and fortune, is very rare. So we will stop here for today.